keeping you on the edge. You can let me know. Okay, hold on here. Now, I've shared my story. By the way, we're starting a new series, okay? So we're not talking about the gold. We're starting a new series. And I've shared my story on how the events and people came into my life and how I had this, oh my goodness, I need the Lord Jesus. But really, I was actually chapter two. And Phil and Ruth are chapter one of my story. And it started with the priest you invited for dinner. It was a setup. By the way, there's such thing as anointed holy manipulation setup. Okay? I do it all the time because, you know. So this was a setup. And Phil had not met Jesus. Jim and Jack were far, far from Jesus, okay? They're in college and whatnot. So Ruth was raised as a Southern Baptist girl, and she married a Catholic slash backslid a little bit. You marry a Catholic, you backslide, let me tell you.
Put my family between me and God.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, don't want to tell that part. But and then Ruth got her life right with God because the family was a mess. And, you know, she's going, God, change them, change them. They're doing this, they're doing that. And God says, I'd like to talk to you, lady. And he did. And Ruth just really just got this connection going back with Jesus and just changing. So we got that part. Part one, good. But part two was, I still have these three guys that live in my house. So like good women and mamas, you know, we're going to do a little setup. So she invited the priest. Who's the priest?
Peter Pasco.
And he's what? He was born again and spirit-filled. And Phil, coming from a Catholic background, altar boy and the whole nine yards, that's probably a good person to invite for dinner, huh? So what happened that night?
Well, Phil said to me, I said that Pastor Pasco's coming over for dinner tonight. He said, well, why is that? We saw one this morning. That was Sunday. So... anyway, he was coming. He said, well, you know all about that. You can take care of it. So when he came, he started telling Phil about the Lord. And so we invited him again the next Sunday. He came three or four Sundays. And so we had been invited up to one of the houses near us for him to speak, and
for Peter to speak to this bunch of people.
Peter to speak with another bunch of, and so they accepted the Lord that night. So we were really understanding that God needed to lead these people to the Lord, because that was a night at this other house that Peter Pasco said, if anybody wants to accept Jesus, come into the recreation room, which was close by. So everybody went in there and got on their knees, and he led my husband to the Lord.
Yes!
Hallelujah. All the others.
So. Okay, so this is chapter one. This is chapter one. And by the way, Ruth can tell you 100 amazing stories of what God did in their lives and still doing in their lives, and you should invite her over for dinner. He'll tell you what, you'll hear some stories. But wait a minute, I'm going to say, so this is chapter one, and because of chapter one, Jim met the Lord first and then Jack, something like that. Thank God. And, you know, Phil and Ruth at that time got involved with Full Gospel Businessmen. They made a great impact through that organization at that time. Phil was got involved in prison ministry and impacted people at that time. Ruth was impacting everybody at every time. Just, you know, get out of the way. We're going to tell you about Jesus. And then, you know, Jim and Jack come along and Martha and Dee come along. So I want to tell you, I appreciate you for inviting that priest to dinner. Because that was the priest that actually led me to the Lord also, many months later. Amen. So I was thinking about chapter one before we got to chapter two, and I realized God used that one man, Peter. By the way, he had to leave the Catholic Church. You know, you tell people about Jesus, you need to be spirit-filled. They just kind of freak out for a while there. But listen, he is still going strong, Peter. I think he's up in Camp Hill or something like that. But it was just amazing that one guy could impact so many people. all the people that Phil and Ruth touched, and Ruth's still touching, Jim, Jack's School of Ministry. You talk about that impacting people, and now you have me, okay? So the title of this series, if you're taking note, is called Everybody. 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 You're the everybody. You're the everybody. So the title's called Everybody, all right? And everybody needs a body. Everybody needs a body, like a Peter Pasca, right? You need, all right? And the body, actually, when you read in your Bible, the body is what? Believers, people that have received Jesus. The body's the church, right? And churches need everybody. So say, I'm a body, and you are needed. So the purpose of this series is to help you understand your place in the everybody part, your place and your gift in the body, your place and your gift in the everybody body, all right? So so I am going to ask you to write this down. This is the big idea. This is the main thing I want you to walk out of here that you know, that you understand. You might forget everything else, but this is the one thing that I want you to understand. So write this down. God made you to make a difference. God made you to make a difference. God made me to make a difference. And some people think, well, that's because you're up here. No, 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 no. Everybody, right? So God made you to make a difference. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's the one thing you're going to get, all right? Now, some of you, when I said, God made me to make a difference, man, I don't think so, Pastor D. God, you know, I can't make a difference. Yes, 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 you can make a difference. Think about that Peter Pasca. Man, just it dominoed. So listen, God has made you, created you to make a difference. So we're going to talk a lot about that. How many of you are in a grow group? Raise your hand. Okay, good. How many of you are the three in agreement, the leaders? Okay, leaders, you're making a difference in those grow groups. Yeah. You get yourself all prepared and show up and all that good stuff, all right? So leaders in grow groups are making a difference. How many of you volunteer at YCF? You make a difference. You make a difference in how this thing runs on Sunday morning, okay? And really, it just keeps on going. So if you're a volunteer, you're making a difference. If you're just, not just, if you are these amazing people, you call this your home church, you are making a difference. Because I know when you leave, I have given you the word, and you are doers of the word. So when you leave and you go home, you go to wherever you work, you're making a difference. So everybody say, I'm making a difference. Okay, but we're gonna step it up a notch here today too, all right? So God made you to make a difference. And open up with you all to Acts, please. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Now, when I think of making a difference, I like this verse. Now, it's a little creeped out at the end, but okay. Gets a little, but all right. I'm going to read this to you. Are you ready? Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. That gross creeps me out there. Okay, but we're not going to talk about that part. I'm going to read the part I want you to get. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, and I was thinking, I'd like that on my tombstone. Just Acts, 13:36. D, serve God for God's purpose. And listen, that's what I see for all of you. Not on your tombstones, but in life, okay? All right? And this is what, that we serve God's purpose. We serve God's purpose, all right? And that means that you get to impact people. You get to impact people because we're going to serve God's purpose. Amen? All right. So now, how do we do this? We allow God to use us. We allow God to use us. We allow God to use us. All right? That's how we do it. All right? Now, So when I think about all of you, I'm looking, Selena over here. Selena serves God's purpose. She's got her hand in a whole bunch of things, in the walls and out of the walls, all right? My worship team guys, you are serving God's purpose. So praise God. You get to when you serve God's purpose, you are making a difference and you're going to be touching people. So that's what this is all about. Now, when I was researching, you know, I always like to go online and Google, tell me somebody. So I was doing that. I said, Google, tell me somebody who was a difference maker. Find me a person, Google, who really made a difference. Now, it took Google a couple of times to get on my path, okay? But finally, he spit out this story, and I forgot. I had heard this long, long time ago. So I found this guy, and his name is Ryan H-R-E-J-L-A-K. I'm going to call him Ray Jack. Okay, Ryan. Okay, so he's Ryan. And when Ryan was 6 years old, what grade are you when you're in six years old? First grade. Listen to this. When Ryan was in first grade, he had heard somebody talk or a story that there were people in Africa that didn't have clean, safe water to drink. A little first grader heard that there were people in this big continent of Africa that didn't have clean, safe water. So he said to his parents, you know, there was this organization that was drilling wells. So Ryan said, Mom, Dad, I want to drill a well. I want to pay to have a well drilled for these people in Africa so they can have clean, safe water to drink. So, you know, first graders come to the parents and they're like, yeah. And then Ryan's pushing them. He says, listen, Mom and Dad, can you give me more chores and pay me so I can save money to have a well drilled so these people in Africa can have clean, safe water? Little six-year-old, guys, a little six-year-old. So then he's doing chores, he's getting paid. And then he's like, you know what, Mom and Dad? Can you get me some speaking engagements? I'm sure he'd entitle it like that. You know, can I talk to people like at church? So, and tell them this whole thing. And then he spoke at like the Kiwanis Club or Optimist Club, you know, those kind of clubs, all right? So he started speaking and getting people to give money so he could drill his first well. At the end of his first year, 1 year later, he had enough money to drill his first well. So maybe he's about 6.5 or 7 years old by then, okay? So now we got a 7-year-old that has done that. So when I think, okay, and to date, he has a foundation. It's called Ryan's Well Foundation. You can Google it later. Do not touch your cell phones, all right? And he's drilled 676 wells. Okay, all right. That's pretty amazing, all right? So when I think of this story, it kind of exploded into me because here's why. How many times I tell God I can't? God, I don't have the ability to do this. Are you kidding me? And then if you think about Ryan, I was thinking I would go, whoa, I can't ever say that one again. Can't say that again, right? Because God used this six-year-old to drill wells, and now he's got this foundation, all right? So God can use every single one of us to make a difference. All right, so everybody say, God can use me to make a difference, right? Now, some of you that are my age or older, we like to say this, oh, God, but I'm too old to do that. Or this one just kind of gets to me. I don't say this, but God, you know, I've already done that. You should use these youngins over here. All right, God, I'm too old for that. That's what I hear. And but listen, how old was Ryan? 6 years old, and he got that and did it. All right, now how many of you know? Now you know I had to Google this. Okay, so don't go laughing right now. How many of you know Joe Torre? Okay, Joe Torre is a very famous manager of the Yankees. And you may, now listen, I knew somebody would do that. You may be an Orioles fan, all right, or whatever, but you have to respect this man and what he accomplished, okay? So I listened to his interview, and he had been fired from 3 major league teams as a manager. Man, that just kind of stomps your ego, guys, doesn't it? Gosh, stomps mine, okay? So, and he was in his 50s when this was all going down. He was in his 50s. He had been fired three times as a manager for these big teams. And in his mind, he thought, man, I'm done. I'm just retiring. I'm going to go out and sell cars. You know, he just was just really deflated, okay? And then he heard that the Yankees were looking for a manager. So he decided, oh, what the heck, I'm just going to throw my hat in and apply to be the manager. So there were three other guys that had applied to be the manager of the Yankees. And he said, all of them were way better than I am. So I'm number four, and the 1, 2, and 3 look amazing. Okay, now apparently the owner of the team is a real nice guy, okay? I couldn't think fast what to say about him, but he's a doozy to work with. So all three, 1, 2, and 3, turned down the manager job because of the owner. So there was only Joe left. Default, here we go. All right, so the manager hires him, and Joe's now the manager. Now, when he entered that position, he had to do some attitude changing. From, you know, I'll never get it, I'm quitting, and all that. And the interview says, he says that his wife really helped him. Go wives! I just put that in. That really isn't the big thing in the story, but come on, okay? Kiss your honey, all right? Really helped him to change his attitude so much that he said, I'm going to win 3 major league championships in a row. And guess what? He did. He did, and he won a couple other ones, all right? So, I was listening to this guy. I was listening to what had happened in his life, what he said in his life, and I thought, man, I can't use that excuse. I'm too old. I can't use that because look what this guy did. Amazing. Go Yankees. Okay. I'm from New York, you know, New York area. All right. And, you know, besides, listen, I have received Jesus. The greater one lives inside of me, right? Okay. So I can't say, well, I'm too old. I can, alrighty? Now, so I'm 62 and a half years old, and I have never once, or rather, God has never once asked me to do something that I felt like I could do. I'm going to say that again. God has never once asked me to do something that I felt like I had the brains for, the talent for, the experience for, the gender for, nothing. Never. Nada. Zip. Everything I've done in life, I'm like, you know, God, surely you can find somebody else who has some ability. You know, and then like Joe, guy number 1, 2, and 3 did, and they just done. All right. So God doesn't ask you because he thinks you're the sharpest pencil in the box. That's my big thing. Praise the Lord. Okay. But, so I decided, you know, so many things, really everything that God's ever asked me to do in my life, I have thought, surely there's somebody else. But you know what I noticed every time I say, okay, I'll do it. Oh, okay, I'll do it. Sometimes it's like that instead of, okay, yay, I'll do it. Sometimes I'm stomping, all right. God, I'll do it, I'll do it. I always notice that God comes and he helps me out. He comes in there after I say, I'll do it. So, 62 and a half years old, okay, God, I'll do it, and you better come in here and help me out. And I watch God do it over and over. Amen. I got a scripture for you that goes with this. It's found in Ezekiel. It's over in your Old Testament somewhere over there. They'll pop it up on the screen. Ezekiel 22:30. Guys, God is always crying out. God is always looking for somebody that'll take the challenge and it'll make a difference. Take the challenge and make a difference, right? And because I know a whole bunch of you, I have watched you get yourself in positions that I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they don't got it. And just because you were willing and then faithful, I've watched God come alongside and you go, and then you're all the way over here, all right? So God's always looking. Okay, are we at Ezekiel 22? I looked for someone, a somebody, I looked for someone, right, among them who would build the walls and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. Listen, guys, I know there's a whole bunch of you. You have taken the challenge and you have done so many things for the Lord. Okay? And I know there's a whole bunch of you here. You're still doing things for the Lord. Okay? But sometimes we go, oh, chapter, book done. I'm done. Okay, I already did that. I'm not doing any more. Okay, and God's looking for you to say, hey, okay, you know, God's putting thoughts in your head like Ryan. God's putting thoughts in your head like Ryan, a six-year-old. Hey, I'm a six-year-old. He's putting, I can drill wells. I can get enough money to drill wells. I should have Googled how much it was to drill a well. I'm sorry I didn't do that. Okay, so God's putting thoughts in you. He's challenging you. He's giving you these thoughts. And he's like, guys, will you do it? Will you just step up and do it? And you can't say you're too young. You can't say you're too old, and you can't say you're too smart. God is just looking at your heart, all right, and doing that. So I have found, how many of you have found that when you just step in, you found God right by your side walking you through the whole thing? How many have done that? Just incredible, incredible. And you know what? I was like, who was I hanging out with? I forget what it is. Oh, I was talking with Dave and Diane, and they were just telling a story, and that she's going, glory to God, God did this, God did that. And I was like, man, God just will keep using you, even if you're not the sharpest pencil in the box, because once he gets you through all sharpened up and you do this, you're always giving it glory to God. God did this, God did this, God did this, all right? And everybody around you knows it must have been God, because we know the pencil's not too sharp, right? Right. So God, you did this, you did this. All right. Now, praise God. I'm going to give you another Bible story. Turn over to John chapter 6. Y'all know this, but turn over to John chapter 6, would y'all? Okay. God made you to make a difference. God made you to make a difference. Right? So we're not going to disqualify ourselves. God made you to make a difference. John chapter 6. Y'all heard this. Now this story has a principle in it that's for us today. The story didn't go out of date. They don't wear that style anymore. This story has a principle, if you have ears to hear, that is for us today, okay? And it's about Jesus feeding the 5,000. How many of you know the story? Jesus feeds the 5,000, and it says in the scriptures, and we'll read them later, he fed the 5,000 men. Now, back then, they forgot to count the ladies, okay? And how many of you know that there's always more ladies in church service than guys, right? Right? And then, you know, usually a lady just doesn't bring one kid. They bring a whole bunch of kids. So it is an estimate. It wasn't 5,000 men only. It's estimate between 15 and 30,000 people. 15 and 30,000 people were there. And Jesus was going to go feed them. 15 to 30,000 people, okay? So 15 to 30,000 people. Like, oh my gosh, I've had Thanksgiving with 22, and it was like kind of bananas. So let's see what happened. Let's read this verse. We're going to start in verse 5. So when Jesus went up into the hill and sat down, his disciples all around him, he soon saw a great multitude, yeah, between 15 and 30,000 people, a great multitude of people climbing the hill, looking for him. Turning to Philip, he said, hey, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, okay? For he already knew what he was going to do. And Philip replied, it would take a fortune to feed this bunch, okay? So Jesus is saying, Philip, I want to do something here, right? Philip, I want to do something here. I want to do something. And listen, Jesus already knows they don't have the resources. Jesus already knew that. They don't have the resources. But he wanted to teach them something, right? He wanted to teach them something. So how many of you've been, God's just putting these things like Ryan. God put on Ryan's heart to go drill wells. He didn't have the resources. He didn't have the resources. So resources could be money. Resources could be your skill level. Resources could be you're just kind of old here, all right? So I was thinking, what the heck is the big deal about this? what is the big deal about feeding 15 to 30,000 people? So if you average, let's just pick 15,000 people and at $20 a head. Go ahead, all you math people. Somebody, 300,000. All right. I got some number of people. All right. So that's a big deal. They had to come up, cough, in order to feed that many people, let's say 15,000 people, $20 a head, 300,000. And listen, I'm sorry, I don't have that in our bank account today at YCF. And Jesus Christ Ministries that day, I don't think they had that in their pocketbook that day either, right? Probably. So listen, then I was thinking, okay, what if I went to do this kind of like a discount place here, okay? So I'm going to do a little discount because, you know, I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But I thought, they probably don't want peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. How about I go to Chick-fil-A and I go on their website and I look up their catering. Okay, I did that. And I look up how much it would cost for if I had that many people, 15,000 people, for chicken strips. The chicken strips. And it comes to $45,000. Okay, now write that down because you're going to add them up. 47. And then I thought, you know, we got to be a little healthy, so let's slap in a garden salad for 15,000 people. And that's going to be $47,000. Okay, so really amazing. Salads cost more than chicken strips? Isn't that interesting? Okay, and listen, we're America. We love dessert. So let's throw in one of their cookies, okay? And that's $20,000. And the grand total is... Huh? Yes. Let's see if you guys are adding. Okay, 112,000. Okay, so I'm looking. Yeah, I know. I was like, wait, I forgot to look at this. So even Chick-fil-A made it impossible for my pockets, right? 112,000. That's a lot of money. But listen, Jesus wanted us to learn something. He wanted them to learn something. And today he wants you to learn something. So let's keep reading verse 8. Here we go. Then Simon Peter's brother spoke up and he said, "Hey, there's this youngster here with 5 barley loaves and a couple of fish. But what good is that with all this mob? What good is that?" Okay. So what's Andrew saying is, "Jesus, it's impossible." Right? He's going, "It's impossible. It's impossible. 5 barley loaves or and 2 fishes or whatever there was, okay? It's impossible. It's impossible." But Jesus is going, and you know, at that point, Jesus has to do something. And he goes to this young boy. He goes to this young boy and he said, and he's got to have a conversation with him, right? He's not going to go steal his lunchbox, right? So he has this conversation with him and he probably says, "Hey, can I have your 5 loaves and 2 fishes?" And the boy has a choice to make, all right? He could have said, "Hey, Jesus, this is my food for the rest of the week." Or he could have said, "Hey, Jesus, this is the food for my family for the week." He could have said anything, all right? But Jesus asked, and he gave. Jesus asked, and he gave, all right? So let's read the next one, 10. So Jesus says, "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus ordered. And all of them, the approximate count of the men only was 5,000, so we think it's around 15,000. They all sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and everyone had enough to eat. So he didn't take them to the restaurant and said, "Angie, you only get 1 fish and 1 bread. Okay, Dolores, it's your turn. 1 fish, 1 bread. Mark, 1 fish, 1 bread." Did he do that? No, he took him to Old Country Buffet and he said, "Pig out. You go there, you pig out. Just eat as much as you want." And it says that, you know, they'd get in, reach in and grab their fish and their bread. And there was more. And someone else would reach in and grab. And then you turn around and there's more. What did Jesus do? He multiplied. Okay, he multiplied it. But Jesus asked, and the boy gave. Alrighty? Jesus asked, and the boy gave. So I think Jesus is trying to tell us something here, right? Everybody, you make a difference. You make a difference. And he's just asking you. Sometimes he's going to give you a thought. What did Tom Medwin just do on Facebook and TV? And what he had this creative thought for a mug with a donut top. So I wasn't buying the donuts. Oh my gosh, just what I need. Right back here. God. Okay, but I'm pretty sure all the guys did it. But listen, God gave him that thought. And I had talked to Tom. Tom used to be worship leader here and youth leader and all that stuff. But I had talked to Tom, and he had said for years and years, he would go, God, I thank you. You give me creative thoughts to make finances for the kingdom of God. All the time he said that. Father, I thank you. You give me creative thoughts to make money for the kingdom of God. Who would think? Okay, and he was on what TV show? Those interview morning show, one of those. Okay, so how about if we just say, Jesus, that thought you gave me, I'll do something with it. Jesus, the abilities that you gave me, the talents that you gave me, the skills that you gave me, I'll do something with that. That's all he's asking. Because everybody, you make a difference. Everybody, you make a difference, okay? And listen, as soon as you say, Jesus, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that thought, you know, I'm going to dig a well. Or, I mean, I'm going to raise money for a well. Jesus multiplies. He multiplies. But you first have to say, yep, I'm going to do that. I'll go here or I'll do that. And then he multiplies, okay? So, praise the Lord. Question. I think this is the question of the hour. Jesus is saying, will you give me your loaves and your fishes to make a difference? That's all Jesus is asking, like all the time. Will you give me your loaves and fishes? And as soon as you say yes, guys, he comes alongside. He'll help you. He'll, you know, we've got the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might. You've got favor and connections. I don't know. And he'll come along and he'll multiply things. So will you give him your fishes and your loaves to make a difference? Kind of close your eyes and think on that. Jesus is going, hey, Dee, you give me your fishes and loaves and to make a difference? Okay. So I noticed every time I give Jesus my fishes and loaves, my time, my whatever, he always multiplies. It's just crazy. And I'm not talking finances. He just multiplies that I have people to help me do what this idea that I have cooked up in my head. Sometimes it's anyway, he multiplies. He multiplies. And guys, he wants to do that in everybody's life. Everybody's life. He wants to get in your life and help you out. His grace will help you out, and he'll multiply your time. I love this. Pastor Dean, I don't have any time. Just ask God. Say, God's dealing with you about doing something, and you're belly aching. I don't have enough time in my schedule. Just give him the fishes and the loaves and watch him multiply it. You know, it's how many of you found this? My day off, I have more time because it's my day off. Some days I accomplish the least. But the day that I have to get up at 5:45 and I've got to do this and I've got to do this, I got to do that, and I'm thinking, holy Toledo, how am I going to get it done? I watch God. It's not that he multiplies the time that we have now 28 hours in a day, but he multiplies my time. And it's crazy. I get things done that he's asked me to do. So Jesus is asking you, will you give him your fishes and loaves to make a difference? Okay. Amen. Praise God. Good D, Pastor D. That's so much fun. All right. Now, so listen, our big thing you're going to walk out here knowing like you never knew before is God made you to make a difference. God made you to make a difference. Now, because I know God made me to make a difference, then I start telling him, but God, you know, we got this barrier in front, God, but God, I can't do this, but God. And one of the things I hear people say is, you know, God, you know, yeah, you want me to make a difference, but God, this generation is a mess. It's bad out there, right? It's crazy. She was Pastor D, all right? So now when I think about 30 years ago, if you would have said a terrorist what they would do is they'd hijack some plane and take it to some country, and they'd make some demands. I want you to release these prisoners. And then the terrorists would just let everybody go free and nobody got killed, right? It is a messed up generation, right? It is insane out there, right? So that could be my excuse why I can't make a difference, God. You know, so people will say that. But listen, it's crazy all over. It's just not here. Europe's had crazy bad things happen all over the world. So if you let that be your barrier and the but God thing, you will not make a difference. And God's called you to make a difference, all right? The other one, how many of you know morality is really bad, okay? Morals, the morals of actually the world. And it was about 25, 30 years ago. We had some friends. You might even know them. Steve and Karen Yeo. Anybody know the Yeo family? They were missionaries to Belgium. Belgium, okay? We went over there. By the way, Belgium is beautiful. It's like Pennsylvania mountains. It is green. It is beautiful. But aside from that, so we were talking to them, and they were telling us, because they traveled around, and they said, you know, it's bad. This is 25, 30 years ago. It's really bad over here. They were driving, I think, in Germany, and they had a billboard, big billboard, and they're advertising gum with a naked lady. Okay? I think the morality is kind of bad. And then Italy, they're advertising soda pop with a naked lady. Okay? It's bad. It was bad, really bad over there. And guys, it's kind of going down here, right? All right. Okay. It's bad. They're just a little ahead of us, okay? But, you know, when you start thinking, well, God, this is really messed up generation. Look how bad it is. You know, they don't want to hear about who you are and what you can do in your life. They don't want to hear anything about you. If you think that, you won't do what God's placed in your heart to make a difference. Okay? So turn over to Romans 5, verse 20. All right? So we're all going, oh, you know, nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Okay, Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20. When sin abounded, grace did much, much more abound. I put a few extra words in there, okay? When sin abounded, it's bad, right? Sin's bad out there, right? It's bad out there. Paul's telling us that grace abounded much more. Okay, so sin. So it said sin abounded. What do you mean sin abounded? Sin is just growing. Sin is in abundance. Sin is in abundance. Okay, that's what he's saying. Sin is in abundance everywhere, all over the place. But then he goes, this is the right time to use but. But God's grace is much, much more. So, you are living in the most exciting times because sin is abounding out here, okay? But God says this generation then is going to have his grace upon it, and people are going to meet Jesus by the tens of thousands. So you can't say, oh, it's really bad out there. Oh, my gosh. Because where sin abounds, God's grace is greater and greater and greater. And you have to believe that. And really, just turn off the news, because some of you just start down the toilet really fast. Because that's all you're going to hear. Where sin abounds, sin abounds, sin abounds, sin abounds, okay? And you're going to forget about God's grace that goes way better, more, okay? So, and listen, because sin abounds crazy out there, people are open. People are open. All right. Now, not if you, please don't be offended with me, okay? Say, I love you, Pastor D. Not if you stand up with your sign on the corner. You're going to hell. Burn. You need Jesus, okay? Probably 1% people will get turned on to that. But for most people, if you just take your sign down and, you know, hand them a sandwich or something like that, their hearts are open. They're actually hungry for something better in their life. Now, y'all know I'm still doing physical therapy for my wrist here, and it's just crazy wonderful, Okay? So I've worked over the physical therapist. Now I'm working on the physical therapist assistant. And she's just graduated. She lives in Hanover. She drives right by my road. I know about her fiance and da, 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 da. And now I got her in the program. Pastor D, what are you preaching on Sunday? I'm sitting there going, Jesus, this is so cool. Okay? And listen, I didn't come in. I am a pastor. You know, hear me well. I didn't do any of that. I just came in as this lady who did something stupid, broke her wrist, dislocated, and shattered. That's all. And I was just, you know, smiling, talking, made a lot of small talk the first 2 weeks. Okay? So I got to tell her. I said, Danny, you were made to make a difference. I practiced my message before you ever get here. Telling you what. All right, listen. She knows that I know that she knows that we know. She is not where she's supposed to be, but she's hungry. She's got an open heart, and she likes me. Okay? Crack me up. So you cannot say, oh, this generation's so bad. It's, oh my gosh, guys. All right, turn over to Matthew 24. I'll figure out where we're going here. Matthew 24. Oh, yeah. Matthew 24. So, yes, this generation is a mess, okay? But Matthew 24, verse 37 says something. Matthew 24, verse 37. I need a drink. All right. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, the coming of the Son of Man. That just simply says the latter days, the end days. And by the way, we're there. We're somewhere. I don't know the day or the hour. Nobody knows. I don't know. But we are close to the finish line. We are living on this planet, and it's getting close to the finish line, especially if you read in your Bible, not watch the news, and see the things that are going to happen. We're living there. So I just get up every morning living like Jesus is coming back tonight. So I'm just going to live like that. And listen, if you know he's coming back tonight, probably going to live a little notch better, okay? You're going to live because you make a difference, really, all right? So, come back, Lord. I always want him to come back before I have to pay my income tax. Like, I wake up the next, I write that check, and I'm like, really? Gosh, okay. But here's what he's saying. It will be like in the days of Noah. Okay, the earth is going to be like in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? They had that great flood, right? They had that great flood because sin was abounding, right? Sin all over the place. And because sin was so bad, then God decided, hey, I'm going to talk to this guy, Moses, and he's going to, I mean, not Moses, what's his name? Noah, sorry. Wrong chapter. I'm going to talk to Noah, and he's going to build an ark so that everybody, so this bunch could be saved. Guess who our ark is today so we can be saved? Jesus. All right. And you make a difference in filling up the ark. You're here to make a difference in people's lives so we can fill up the ark. So, Pastor Dia, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Fill the ark. Fill it up, okay? Yeah, all right. Now, so let's read Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Here we go. Verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. Sin, sin, sin. Sound like our generation, right? Okay. So the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at all times. Whoosh. The Lord regretted that he had made the human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I have regretted that I have made them. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. Okay, Noah found favor in God's eyes. So y'all know this Noah story? If you were in my children's ministry, put your hand up. You know this story, okay? So God had all these animals and reptiles and creeping things, and he got them all into the ark, right? Y'all know that part? Okay? And Noah didn't have to go on a roundup. God got them in there. Praise God. He instructed them to get into the ark. And okay, so they're all in the ark, and the lions didn't eat anybody. The skunks didn't skunk anybody, right? And the snakes didn't bite anybody because God brought them in there and there was a peace. Praise God. That's a fun one to think on. And then Noah and his family go into the ark and they were all saved from this great judgment, right? Y'all know that story? They're all saved. Okay, now, how does God do that today? How does God do that today with you? And the people and the places that God's called you to do. You are the people that you share your love and your life. It's like me at physical therapy. I'm just talking nice stuff. We talk recipes and then you just kind of wiggle in there. Okay, so how does God do that today? Well, he does. Jesus is actually the ark and you guys are going to help fill it up. You are on the fill up team. Okay, that's how God does it today. Praise God. So, God's wanting us to fill this ark for him, and he will do it because of us and the love that he has. But I was also thinking, Marianna went downstairs. She gave my scripture. I was like, oh my gosh, she was reading over my notes. She said, Miranda. What did I say, Miranda? Oh gosh, that's because I know two people. Okay. So anyway, she said, you all know the part where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he's made us to be a light of the world, okay? All right, so I was thinking about that. And actually, when Jesus said that, he's actually quoting from an Old Testament scripture. Open up to Isaiah 60. He's quoting an Old Testament scripture. And you figure, Jesus is the word, right? He is the word. So if he wants to rewrite something, go for it, all right? So when he writes it in the New Testament, he's kind of rewriting it for us. But I'm going to go look at the Old Testament, Isaiah 60, verse 1 or 2. Let me flip over here. Okay. Here we go. Isaiah 60, verse 1. The first thing, now, you got to do this. The first thing he says is, watch this, arise, shine. Right? What's the first? Yeah. You guys look at me like I'm something weird. Okay. The first thing he says is, arise, shine. That's the first thing he says. Okay, so think about that. Sometimes the only thing stopping us from making a difference in people's lives like Ryan is we have to get up. Just get up. Arise, okay? You have to arise. And so when God tells you, God puts people in your place, okay, what are you going to do? Okay, God, I'm going to arise. And the shine part's easy. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. And when you received him into your life, you got the light. So arise, shine. Arise, shine. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Why am I boring? Golly gee whiz. Okay. Arise, shine. This is little Ryan. He decides he's going to get up. He's going to go make chores. And he's going to speak to everybody. He's going to do something. He's got to get up. So as God talks to you, just don't let it go in and out. Just get up and say, okay, God, I heard you. I saw that. I'm going to do it. All right. So you got to get up. And the shine part, guys, you got the Most High God inside you. Okay. The grace of God will empower you to do it. And I love to say, God, I really don't know how to do it, but I thank you. You will empower me to do it. Okay. So let's keep reading the rest of that. Arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the people. Sounds like this generation, right? But the Lord rise upon you, and his glory appears over you. The nations will come to your light, and the kings and the brightness. Okay. I'm so excited. How am I going to finish this? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So, the part where it says, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the people, but the Lord rises upon you. Guys, it is dark out there. It's bad out there, all right? Okay, but listen, God will come upon you and he will help you through whatever situation he's called you to do. Okay? God, he will come. It doesn't matter how messy of, what do you think? God, this is too messy of a generation. You can't fix it? You can't do anything with them? God, this is the worst generation. Okay, so what we're going to say is, but the Lord will rise upon you and he'll help you. And it is great. My favorite prayer is help, help. Okay, so when you get in the middle of it, you go, God, help me. He's like, good, finally, move over. I'm going to go jump in there. All right, I love saying help. All right, and praise God. The last part talks about nations. Did you see that? The last verse 3. Verse 3 talks about nations will come to your light. All right. I remember, I sort of remember, it was either while I was at Rhema or Jack was, because he went 2 years before me. I remember him coming home. It must have been him, his first year, coming home and tell me about they had this king of a nation from Africa come to Rhema. And so we would have classes. It's just a part-time school. It's like from 8 to 12:30, and you better watch your toes when you get out of the parking lot because everybody's going to work. But so we'd have classes, and then we'd have joint, you know, everybody would come together for the big meetings and the, I'm doing great on words, hallelujah, what do I say? Assembly, thank you, Jesus, assembly. So they would gather all the Rhema students for an assembly, and so Jack told me this. So there's this African gentleman, and he's dressed in, you know, that, man, they look so hot. Telling you what, the hat and they just stand so tall and they talk so good. And he came up to give a testimony. And it was kind of cool because he said there was like these Secret Service guys standing around him. Okay? So we found out he's the king of this nation. And I don't remember. Sometimes I should pay attention. Okay? I don't know what nation it was, but he's the king of a nation in Africa. And he gets up and he tells the story, the testimony about how these two, this couple graduated from Rhema and went on the mission field. And it was actually a couple in their late 50s. They decided they'd retire early. They must have been banking the money, right? If you're going to retire early, glory to God. Okay, so they retired early, and they go to Rhema, and then they go on the mission field. And God's grace was upon them in this country, and just great things are happening. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. They're starting a lot of little churches and Bible schools. And this king hears about this couple. And he wants to have a meeting with them. All right? So he calls them in for a meeting. Have you ever been called into the principal's office? Once. Yeah. You're like, ooh. So they call him in. And he goes, I'd like to know what you're doing in my country. I have heard some things. So take a deep breath, and they start telling how what Jesus is doing and how people are just being transformed and saved and helping people grow crops, and now they've got more food and stuff like that. So this king is hearing all of this, and they keep saying, Jesus, 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 you know, God, Jesus. And he gets born again. He goes, oh, my gosh, I need this. So they're actually doing a better job than I am explaining this, okay? So he gets born again, and he decides every public school that I have is going to have Christian curriculum and Christian books in it, and every student is going to get a Bible, all right? Listen, that country was in revival, right? That country was in revival. But just think about it, okay? This is a couple in their late 50s, right? They probably got an empty nest. Hallelujah. The kids are gone. We can go on bus trips to Atlantic City, right? We can play golf Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We can join this club. That's what retirees, sometimes that's their mentality, all right? But not this bunch. They're not looking at their age. They're not looking at, you know, all that stuff. Because, and listen, they made a difference in that nation so much so that that king wanted to meet them. Guys, I know a bunch of you, I can't keep your mouth shut. I know you're making a difference. But how about we take it up a notch and say, God, I will give you my loaves and fishes. and I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. And listen, I believe, I think we're doing good. But by the way, every year I go, okay, God, we're doing good at YCF, but I got this plan and this plan and this plan. Okay? So we're going to keep going. We're going to do things greater. But I believe there's people here. You could be, God, you're doing great things, but God's maybe he's calling you to a nation. Calling you to a nation. Now, I probably don't want to let you go because you're probably doing a whole bunch here, but I'll let you go, all right? So you have to ask the Lord when he speaks to you. He's dropping these things in your life, and he'll say, will you give me your fishes and loaves? And it should be real easy to say. I'd like to say it. Yes, Lord, I will give you my fishes and my loaves because I am here to make a difference. And if it's just one person, in 1 year, you have made a difference. But listen, I'm believing bigger than one person in a year, okay? Praise God. Hey, let's pray right now, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just close your eyes. If you hear him snoring, you're allowed to kick him, punch him, pinch him, all right? All right? Father God, I did my best to teach this incredible concept that everyone here is made to make a difference. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you recall the word that was spoken. I thank you that we will chew upon it. And Holy Spirit, you just open our eyes, Father, that we would see where we go and the people you place and the thoughts that we get, that we will put action to it. We will arise and shine. And, you know, still just with your eyes closed, maybe you're here and, you know, God's been telling you stuff and you have just but God. Okay. You have dished out all the reasons why you shouldn't, couldn't, and wouldn't. All right. And just get, you know, everybody just get really quiet and, just should be saying, you know, okay, Lord. Yep. I know what you want me to do. I know you want me to do missions or you want me to serve here. You want me to go out there. Yes, Lord, I give you my loaves and fishes, and I thank you that you will help me, you will empower me, your favor will go before me, and I am made to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. Okay, I made a promise to the Lord, so don't, okay, we're going to pray. If you're here today, everybody closed, you've never made that commitment to the Lord and let him come in and be master, Lord, boss of your life. And today's the good day. Matter of fact, today is the day to receive him as the boss of your life. And if you're here and you can't remember you ever prayed that prayer, can I tell you today's the day and I would like to pray with you? And I'm not asking you to join YCF, and I'm not asking you if you were ever sprinkled or if you were raised in a Christian home. I'm asking you today, have you ever made a commitment where you said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm just going to let go of trying to run my life, and I would like you to lead. And I would submit to you. If there anybody here and you'd say, Pastor D, this is me, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody here and say, Pastor D, I need that in my life. I am tired of that. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. All right, gang. Look at everybody and say, we're the family. We're the family. Praise God. Praise God. Out in the foyer, you get to make a difference. You can